Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We've been talking about the most dangerous member of your church. And yes, it's our tongue. It is a little member, the Bible says, in the book of James. Oh, but it's a destructive fire. The last time we were meeting together, we were talking about hearsay and how we can hear something that we honestly believe is true, and then we act on it. And we make judgments on it. We were looking at Joshua chapter 22, as 2.5 tribes of the nation of Israel began to settle down on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and the other 9.5 tribes settled down on the western side. But as soon as the settlement began to take place, the 2.5 tribes built a special altar right on the Jordan River, basically as a commemoration to everybody on both sides of the river, that they had fought together, that they were one people, because one day they were all going to die, and they wanted a memory stone to be there for all of their children, reminding everybody, we all fought together, we are one people. Oh, but that's not what the people on the west side of the river thought. And the Bible tells us in verse 16 of Joshua 22, that the 9.5 tribes gathered their people together to go to war against the 2.5 tribes. And they said, what trespass is this that you have committed against the Lord God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and you've built an altar to rebel this day against the Lord? They knew for sure that's what was happening. At least they thought they did. Verse 21, then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth. And Israel, he shall know if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings therein, let the Lord himself require it. They basically went on to say, we built this altar not for a burnt offering, not for sacrifice, in verse 26, but verse 27, that it may be a witness between us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Basically, it was a reminder that they were one people. You know, it's amazing. The speed with which they judged each other. They had barely gotten settled in the land, and then hearsay rears its ugly head, hearsay. Notice in verse 16, they were presumed guilty before any questioning. Let me tell you something. Satan loves it when we presume other people guilty of things that it looks like they might be guilty of, and we've never asked them. We've never talked to them about it. That's why Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17 tells us that if there's any question, we should go to that person and ask that person alone and get details about what we think may have happened or what might be the truth. But they were presumed guilty before they were even questioned. You know, and this attitude and this approach so hurts the people who are accused. The people who are accused, it is so devastating to their spirit that many times it leads to just total frustration and desertion. And that's exactly what Satan is trying to accomplish. He's trying to get the people who are being accused to become so frustrated they walk away from church, they walk away from God, because they were misunderstood. Isn't that exactly what Satan loves to do in our churches today? But then we say, now see here, I never did think he was called of God. Oh, we can say that so easily. In fact, in verses 18 and 19, it tells us that the guys on the west side of the border had such a holier-than-thou attitude instead of one of meekness and fear, as Galatians 6:1 tells us we should have. A holier-than-thou attitude. They said, but that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? and it will be, seeing you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possessions be unclean, then pass you over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth. In other words, the west side, where Jerusalem is and where the tabernacle is, and take possession with us, but don't rebel against the Lord. It was basically a holier-than-thou attitude. Boy, that is so easy to have, isn't it? When we think we're right, and we think others are wrong. But you know, closer scrutiny would have revealed the truth. But we don't usually have the time or the inclination to do that. In fact, that's what the 2.5 tribes said. They said, "Behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord," verse 28, "which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings or for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you." In other words, look closely at this pillar. It's a monument. It is not an altar upon which to burn sacrifices. Closer scrutiny would have revealed the truth, how true that is. When we hear hearsay, we need to keep it to ourselves and begin to do closer scrutiny. Don't say a word, but begin to check out the truth. Now, if these people had been in sin, it certainly could have been handled better. In fact, Galatians 6:1 says that if we see a brother overtaken in a fault, those of us that are spiritual should approach that person in meekness and fear, lest we ourselves be overtaken with the same fault. See, if we see others in what we believe is sin, it would be wise for us to first pray, maybe even fast, spend some time alone with the Lord, and ask the Lord to check out our own lives and make sure we don't have anything in our lives that would hinder our effectiveness. Kind of like Matthew 7, the first 5 verses, talks about the mote and the beam principle. They could have prayed first. They could have appealed in love for the facts and even shared the assumptions that they had. They could have shown up without their weapons and said, folks, is this an altar that you're going to be sacrificing to other gods on? What's happening here? They could have asked questions. And the same thing is true for us. They could have had tears and brokenness. You know, it's amazing what tears of brokenness will do. Even if people are guilty of sin, if we approach them with a broken spirit, and if they can see that our love is evidenced by our broken spirit, my, what an effective witness we can have and ministry we can have in their lives. But the speed of condemnation so proves the lack of love and the desire to hurt rather than to help. What a shame, but often true in our churches. Have you ever wondered why it's possible to be involved in gossip and attacking other believers and still be considered spiritual in the church? Isn't that interesting? In other words, yeah, I can be involved in slander and I can be involved in gossip, but I'm still considered a leader in the church, not according to the Word of God. You see, because slander is listed as a sin in the Bible, and gossip is still a sin that we're going to have to give an account for at the judgment seat of Christ. And the sad fact in my 46 years of ministry, the sad fact is that I have seen many young folks watching the hypocrisy of the older spiritual leaders of their church. Hypocrisy that they seem to be blind to, and the young folks go, "Give me a break," and they leave the church. In fact, even new believers know this is not right. And so they leave to find true faith, or maybe they just leave the church altogether. Now, that's why attacks often begin. You know, and many times attacks come along because of differences of opinion, not necessarily because of sin, but just differences of opinion. To be honest with you, we ought to be able to have a difference of an opinion and still love one another. Still love one another. Because you see, that person is probably still your brother in Christ, your Christian brother, your Christian sister, and you're still commanded to love him or her. And so consequently, if that's true, then we need to be praying for God's direction on how to minister to them. I call your attention to Romans chapter 14, where the Apostle Paul deals with these kinds of issues. In Romans chapter 14, It says in verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." The word doubtful disputations means judging. Judging. In other words, when Christians disagree, Romans chapter 14 deals with that exact thing. In other words, don't ostracize people that have a different opinion. Don't be arguing with them. For he says in verse 2, "One believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs." He's a vegetarian. "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." You see, the Word of God tells us how to deal with issues of differences of opinion. And we can let the Lord lead his own children and deal with them personally. But the Bible tells us in verse number 20 that, "For meat destroy not the work of God." For meat, destroy not the work of God. In other words, Satan is able to use you to destroy the work of God over your spiritual issue. Your spiritual issue. And so we have to let the Lord lead his children and deal with them personally. I guess maybe the hardest thing is to wait on God until you have a broken spirit for your brother in Christ. A broken spirit. And when you finally have a broken spirit, then you are ready to go. Because brokenness will accomplish so much more than criticism. And isn't that your goal? To see the work of God accomplished. Now, sometimes we have differences of opinion about personal preferences. And that's what Romans 14 is talking about. Personal preferences. I remember one time when I was pastoring in Georgia, we had some leaders in our church that were very critical of a young man because he dyed his hair. Put dye in his hair and bust God, that wasn't right. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't know that I would want my son to be dyeing his hair, but could I say that it's sin like they're saying? In fact, it was interesting that some of their own wives dyed their hair. Now, does it say in the Bible that it's okay for women to do it, but not for men to do it? How about Grecian formula 44 to take the gray out of your hair? Is it sin? You see, these are personal preferences. And so many times we allow personal preferences to divide and destroy the work of God. Destroy the work of God. How vitally important it is for you and me in our local church, never to let the most dangerous member of our body destroy the work of God. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you and your church in a great way.